This is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glenk. I'm sitting in for Clark. You usually hear me Sunday afternoons, 11 to 1, and then Monday morning very early. And here I am Monday afternoon, stepping into Clark's shoes for the day. So glad to be here and glad you could join us as well. The number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm happy to pick up the cost of that toll-free call, by the way, any day. If you are not following me on Twitter, you are missing at least half of the conversation that goes on with these shows. So we have become very, very interactive on the Clark Howard Show and the Elise Glenk Show. My Twitter address is at Glenk, at G-L-I-N-K. I've already started tweeting today. Would love to hear your thoughts. Please join us online at Glenk, at G-L-I-N-K. There's also my website where we have podcasts and great information and 8,000 pages just to amuse you while you're wandering around during your day. Happy to have you join us in the ThinkLink community. So I wanted to start with a story of a woman I met yesterday. She is the fiance of my cousin Marty. Her name is Rachel. And Marty is going to turn 40 in a couple of weeks. And he's finally found the one. And it's so great. I'm so excited for him because he's such a marvelous guy. He has just salt of the earth and a heart of gold. And I always wanted him to find somebody really special. And so I sat down at my mother's house. She threw a little engagement party yesterday to meet Rachel and her family. They live up in Milwaukee. And what a joy, you know, to see this family, and they're so lovely, and they clearly are so crazy about my cousin Marty. I mean, how can you not like it? But when I started hearing Rachel's story, I realized that Rachel has done something at her very young age, being in her early 30s, that most people never do. And she started telling me how she started out in radio, so we had something to connect with right at the beginning. And she realized as she was getting really, really good at her job, she was on the sales side, that she was more and more unhappy. And she realized that the more successful she was, the more her stomach hurt at night, the pounding of the heart as she was walking in the door, big headaches. And she realized that she was on her way to an ulcer. At the very least, and who knows what else. And so she tried to figure out, and like many of us, got stuck trying to figure out how she was going to unwind, because the more successful she was at the job, the more money she made, the more power she had and all the rest, and yet the more unhappy she was. So she devised a way where she went to her bosses and she said, I think I found a way to make you, the company, the radio company, more money by changing the incentives for the salespeople in the force. And she was kind of in the middle of that whole equation. And they said, okay, that sounds amazing, but you've just worked your way out of a job. And she said, bingo, I'm leaving at the end of the month. And so it was, she said, one of the most difficult decisions she had ever made. She was stuck in a place, and she couldn't see out 30 years being really happy and doing what she was doing, but she was so darn good at it, right? You're so darn good at something. You just don't want to give that up. And yet, to move forward in her life, to make those decisions, to actually take concrete steps to get her where she needed to be, she needed to make a change, and a really big change. And so, by working her way out of a job, she did a 180-degree turn and went to work for the youth group that she belonged to when she was growing up as a teenager, that she had such a strong emotional bonded connection with, made this 180-degree turn, and of course has been equally successful in this realm, but gone is the ulcer, gone is the pounding heart, gone is the headaches. And what happens when you take positive steps towards your future? When you have a vision and you start making changes? She fell in love. that's exactly right. That's when she met my cousin Marty, when she had made all of these changes. Not before, not when she was stuck, but when she actually made the change, when she started putting foot after foot, step in the right direction, and she got to a place where she was really comfortable. Now, I know that you're scared when it comes to buying real estate. I know that you hear the stories of people who call on my show and they say, hey, I just bought this place for $25,000 and this place for $150,000. I mean, we're starting to talk about serious dollars. You make a mistake in real estate, it's going to cost you $250,000. And all I've heard since 2008 are stories from people who are underwater. They're underwater by $10,000, $15,000, $50,000, $100,000. I had somebody call a show a few weeks ago. They're underwater by something like $250,000. And that money is gone forever. And so I understand that when you're trying to make the decision to move forward and to go into real estate, and you want to be the next Donald Trump, or you want to be the next name your real estate investor key guru, that you're scared about that. But just like Rachel, if you don't have forward momentum, if you don't think about where you want to go, and if you don't take personal responsibility for your actions, small problems, big problems, you have to put a foot in front of the other. And if you never take a forward step, even if it turns out to be a backward step, you just have to take the step. You have to get unstuck. This idea of being stuck and personal responsibility are so key to real estate. And what is the single biggest piece of your net worth? Because you know what? I look at my real estate stuff. We've got a couple of investment properties. What are we going to do? It's easy to just kind of sit there. And month after month, if you don't take action, you know what happens? Your properties go unrented and you start losing money. If you need to sell and you can't make the tough choice to sell your home, you're going to sit there and watch everybody else be swept away in whatever's going on. So this is about taking responsibility. This is about making the big, hard decision so that you know exactly where you want to go and you can figure out a plan of action. Plans are incredibly important. I don't just want you to go and hope for the best. That's not what I'm asking you to do. What I'm asking you to do is look at the situation and say, what's going to make me happy? What is going to give me the opportunity to move forward? And what am I going to do to make this work out so that when you look at it, I don't need you to say, I love my property. I don't need you to do that. I don't need you to say, I love my career as a real estate investor. What I need you to do is connect emotionally to this enormous thing that you're trying to do and figure out how you're going to make it work. That's the key. It is so incredibly important to understand how you're going to move forward and how you're going to make it work. I don't even understand. I don't know any other way to do it. All right, Ellen, let's go to the phones. Let's pull up caller on line one, would you? Welcome to the Elise Glenn Clark Howard Show.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I wasn't quite sure if you were speaking to me.
Well, I don't have, you know, for whatever reason, your name has not popped up on my screen. So tell me your name.
Tracy.
How can I help you today, Tracy?
I have a 10-year term life policy, and I have the ability to convert it to whole life without any other kind of medical checks or anything before my birthday, which is on Wednesday.
Oh, happy birthday to you. My birthday's on Friday.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
So I was just trying to figure out if it was a good idea to do. I don't have, you know, I have some smaller whole life policies, like especially like through work and things like that, but nothing separate. So I was thinking about going ahead to do that.
Why is it, let's pull back for a moment, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what it is that you're trying to do. Because I'm not a huge fan of whole life insurance and neither is Clark.
Okay.
So what is it you're really trying to do here?
My thought was just to be able to have something when I get to an age of, you know, and I still have, I guess, hopefully 40, 50 years before I get to an elderly age that I wouldn't need to have to worry about being able to have something for burial costs or funeral expenses or something that family wouldn't have to cover.
So let's talk about that. Listen, funerals are really expensive, and that death, that whole death conversation is something that's really hard and we all get stuck in front of.
Right.
But whole life insurance is probably the worst kind of funeral burial insurance I can think of for you.
Okay.
It is really expensive. It is not a good investment.
Okay.
And it is really not appropriate for you to pay in for the next 40 or 50 years.
Okay.
I mean, just think of how much a funeral costs and how
right.
much you're going to pay every month or every year for this policy.
Right.
Does it make sense?
Well, I wasn't sure that it did, but I wanted to make sure.
So let's talk about what else you could be doing, right? Because I want you to make a really smart move. I want you to go in the right direction.
Okay.
So if I know that what you're worried about is planning for your funeral,
right.
that's one thing. Do you have kids? Right. Are you thinking about planning for them and taking care of them?
I don't have kids right now.
In the plans? Is it a possibility?
It's a possibility. In the near future, I just got married almost 2 years ago. So, you know, so we're potentially planning in the near future that we could have something. I'm sorry.
So, child, hopefully, but maybe a dog or a lion. I don't know.
You know, but I do have a niece and a nephew, you know, and so if I had something that, you know, that I didn't have children, I would probably leave something to them.
All right, so insurance, let's toss that right off the table because, you know what, that's not going to help you in any of the things, in any of the scenarios you've just described.
Okay.
You're going to pay way too much for too little benefit, and it's just never going to do what you want it to do. So what I always recommend people who are young and doing something that need to do something to protect themselves and maybe a future family, and you've got a spouse, you want to make sure you guys protect each other.
Right.
Term life insurance.
Okay.
So this whole life conversion policy that you're doing, I guarantee it's better for the insurer than it is for you. But you're young, and provided you're healthy, a term life policy is really, really cheap. And you can buy one that's fixed for the next 30, even 40 years.
Yeah.
And then you can ladder them up as things happen in your life. Like you have children, you know, you have a bigger house, you have more stuff. You can ladder up that policy so that you buy a new one in another 10 years that's good for 30 years and another 10 years after that. And what you're doing is you're covering your family at the years they need it the most.
Gotcha.
And that's really what this is all about. And when you do that, the extra money that you're not paying towards whole life insurance, you can save and set aside for the rainy day emergency fund, for your funeral someday, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll be able to buy, for the same cost, you'll probably be able to buy a $1 million term life policy.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you're spending $1 million on your funeral, it's too much.
Yeah, because right now I have a term policy that's at $500,000, and it's nowhere near what they're quoting for, you know, for the little amount that I pay for that policy, for, you know, maybe even $100,000 in a whole life policy. It's almost triple the cost.
Of course,
more than that.
So, are we clear?
I think so.
Oh, that's what I wanted to hear. Thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for Clark. Be back with more on News Talk WSB. 26 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Kling. Thanks for listening today. Our number, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Paige joins us on the line. Hey, Paige, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi, what's going on today?
I wanted to wish you an early happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
29 again.
Oh, okay. I got a very interesting phone call. It the caller ID said Washington, and it gave the phone number. And the phone number was, or the call was a recording. And the recording said the FBI has noticed a high amount of crime in your area, and if you allow us to put a sign in your yard, you get a free home security system.
Really? The FBI is in the business now of protecting individual homes?
That's what the recording said.
Wow, sign me up. Don't you want an FBI truck sitting in front of your yard, like with really cool equipment that spins around and like blocks everybody else's signals?
No, it puts you under suspicion. What did that woman do?
I don't know. I think it's going to keep, like, well, maybe not on Halloween. It would keep the kids away. But, all right, so, to all seriousness, so you got this call, and what did you think this might be?
I don't know. That's why I called.
I got to tell you, I haven't heard this one particularly, but I can tell you from all of the interactions I've ever had with the FBI, reporting and researching stories over the years, scams, other things, I've talked to FBI special agents in charge, all this. Never once did they say they send out, like, recorded phone calls offering things.
Exactly.
Like, there's just no way this is real.
Exactly. They give you an option to press 1 to accept, and then 9 to never be called or contacted again.
Yeah, but either one that you choose puts you on their list of suckers. That's my feeling. I think
I'm on the list of suckers because they called me.
Yeah, well, no, you're on a list of, you're either you haven't opted out or they're ignoring the opt-out rules for phone calls. So I get calls all the time, even though every phone number I own is on the opt-out list.
Oh,
so if you haven't renewed opt-out, every 5 years you're supposed to renew it. So that's important to do.
Understood.
But, you know, definitely don't take them up on this.
Oh, I'm not. I just wanted to warn everyone else.
Well, I really appreciate that, Paige. It is so important when you get these kinds of calls to not either push 1 or push 9 thinking those are your only two options. Your best option, of course, is to just immediately hang up, which is what I do whenever I hear a recording come on the line. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. Be back with more on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark. I'm not here today, but you're still getting money-saving info from money expert and author Elise Glink on News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark today. So glad you could join me here on News Talk WSB. The number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You know, there's a whole bunch of other places on the web that you can find ThinkLink content that I'm inviting you to share right now. One of them is on Twitter, where I've been answering some of your queries during the break. We do have a very active conversation that goes on Twitter during these shows, and I hope you'll join us. It's at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. But I'm also the managing editor for the Equifax Finance blog, where every single day we have something cool and new happening there. And we're going to be having a really cool contest on the Equifax Finance blog in a few weeks, in English and in Spanish. So you'll want to sign up and stay tuned for that. And then over at CBS News at Money Watch, we're still putting out a whole bunch of content, staying on top of real estate news and all the rest. So find me all over the place through my free weekly newsletter, or you can go to CBS News and just type in my name. It all works. It all works. All right, let's go back to the phones right now. Aaron joins us on the line from Wisconsin. Hey, Aaron.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for calling the show. I'm going to actually be up in Wisconsin later this week visiting my son at camp.
It's hot here.
Yeah. You should try Atlanta. What's going on in your world today?
Well, my husband and I have a personal injury settlement that is going to be coming in very shortly, and we have a big decision to make, and we are hoping to get some guidance. We can either take it as a lump sum, or if we want an opportunity for it to grow tax-free because it is a personal injury, we can do either a structured settlement or annuity-type thing. And we're just wondering what your opinion is on that.
Well, let's talk about what happened. I mean, were you injured or was your husband injured?
My husband was injured at work.
What happened?
He was severely burned.
Oh, that's awful. Has he been able to recover?
He has recovered as much as he's going to. He was able to return to work, so that was a really good thing. So
it is. I'm sure he was really excited to get up and out of the house and go do something productive.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so you're going to have this lump sum, and tell me a little bit about your life. Do you have kids? Is he able to earn the same amount of money going forward? I mean, how much money are you talking about?
Well, we don't have a definite amount yet. It's all still kind of being settled right now, but enough to take care of our mortgage and put a sizable amount away yet. And that, I guess that's another question, is our first instinct is to pay off our mortgage. We actually have two homes. One has a small mortgage, and the other one is the one we live in, and it's a bigger mortgage.
Well, what are you doing? Okay, so why do you have two homes?
Well, we moved 2 years ago, and we kept the home that we were living in just because of the bad market, and we're renting that one out.
Okay. So it sounds like you have some really tough decisions ahead of you.
Yes.
How are you feeling about where you are? Are you feeling nervous? Are you feeling scared? Are you feeling like the money's going to be enough to help out? You just want to be really super careful with it? Where are you feeling with this?
I think if we're very careful, the money could help us have a very comfortable retirement. I guess my concern is that if we take a lump sum and have it sitting, you know, I don't want to buy this, that, and the other thing, and then when we turn 50, you know, have nothing left. That's what we want to avoid. We are pretty careful with our money as it is. We both plan on continuing working as we are, so we have a pretty good income. We'd like to be able to have enough to put our kids through college.
Okay. So here's my problem. Growing it tax-free is okay, is fine.
Yes. Yeah.
But it sounds to me like the biggest issue is you don't trust yourself not to dip in for certain things along the way.
That's possible. I think I would like the security of knowing that it's there for our future.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
so there's
that is a concern.
Right. So you're worried about it. You're scared about that. And it's kind of helping
a little bit.
And I understand that. I mean, this is, you know, after what you and your husband have been through and your kids, I mean, this, you can't even see this as a pot of gold, right? I mean, this is just, it's not bad at all. It's just something that's supposed to make life a little bit easier. So here's the thing that I want you to do. I need you to find a really good financial planner. Because the answer to your question, it isn't so simple as to say, structured settlement, you're done, goodbye. There's a more complicated picture here that I think you may not be fully thinking through. And that's because when there's such an emotional thing that happens, I mean, it's this massive physical injury caused a huge emotional injury under the surface for your husband, for you and your kids. And, you know, your nervousness that I can hear as you tell the story, I can hear how scared you are. And so I know that there's a bigger picture here that you need to get your arms around so that you can make the right decision. Because I know that the thing you want to do, the last thing you want to do is make a fast wrong decision.
Right.
And there's pension issues, 401k issues, earnings issues. You know, what happens if, you know, the job changes? What happens if, you know, one of your kids needs something else? College, and then, you know, down the line, retirement. And if you think 50 is when you might want to retire, then you've got at least 15 years till Medicare kicks in of health insurance benefits to pay for.
Right.
So there's so much there that what I really want you to do is talk to a number, two or three or four, different financial advisors who can start to help you understand the new story of your life and write the happy ending with the money that you've received. And I want you to talk to three or four different ones, because each one of them might have, you know, if they say, oh, do this or do this, you have to ask them, well, what are you getting out of that? Ideally, you're paying somebody by the hour to tell you this, because then that's all the interest they have. They really, truly owe their fiduciary responsibility to you. And so not having somebody just going to one and saying, okay, I'm going to just take your advice and then he's going to make a pile of money off of you. I don't want that at all. What I want you to do is is shopping around, be responsible, do your homework, because you sound to me like the perfect person to do this. It's, you know, you sound like you deeply care about your husband and your family and your future, and you've been able to work through what's happened, and that's amazing.
Thank you.
So you have to take this next step, which is to now inform yourself, not just of this one question you've asked me, and I'm not dodging the question. I have
right,
an opinion, but I don't know nearly enough about all the different pieces of your financial life, and I want you to wrap your arms around all of them, because only
right.
then are you going to make exactly the right decision.
And I guess our concern is, you know, we have a financial advisor who's been handling 401ks and some college funds for our children. But my concern is kind of what you said, that, you know, anyone maybe is going to tell us that they can do better than they maybe can because they will have a financial interest in it.
That's right. But you know what? If you really thought he was up to the task, you wouldn't have even called me. So
right.
you must not have complete trust in him.
Well, it's not that. It's more that, you know, I think of things from a tax perspective, that tax-free interest is pretty significant.
Yeah, well, right now the banks are earning 0.25%, so it's irrelevant. The bigger issue is not losing money. So they're actually...
Well,
there's actually a different level of discussion that has to happen because you need to run the Monte Carlo simulation that looks at what happens to the money over the course of your expected lifetime.
Okay.
And that's a bigger discussion than tax-free or not tax-free. And
okay.
so
okay.
this guy, if he had all the answers, I seriously don't think you would have called me. You would have been satisfied.
What?
But you're not, so you called, and now I'm telling you, get his
yeah.
advice on all of it, and then go compare that with two or three other highly recommended top financial advisors. And if you don't know of one, every year Barron's publishes a list of the biggest and best financial advisors in Atlanta. They do it for all the states and in
okay.
the cities. And you can start going down the list and calling people and make four or five or six appointments and
okay.
see who has your best interests at heart. And then for comparison purposes, there's something called the Garrett Planning Network.
Okay.
Two R's, two T's, Garrett Planning Network. And Cheryl Garrett is a fee-only financial planner, certified financial planner,
okay.
CFP. And her network of people, you pay them by the hour. And so then
okay.
you're going to get this great comparison, and you're going to know exactly what to do.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, that helps a lot.
My heart goes out to you and your husband, and best wishes.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
46 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with our calls. Bobby joins us on the line from Macon. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How can I help you today?
Listen, I recently... inquired with a local home foreclosure company here
mm-hmm.
in hopes of maybe getting some type of assistance to avoid foreclosure of my home.
Have you missed payments, Bobby?
Yes, ma'am, I have.
How many?
It's probably totaling about four. I think about four right now.
Have you been out of work?
Yes, I've been out of work since February of this year.
And did you apply for the foreclosure program for people who are the unemployed program, UP?
Well, before I could get to that point, when I called back after initially filling out the application that I was given and being told to call once I filled it out to set up an appointment, one of their representatives called me back to set up an appointment date and began to ask me some questions. And when I began to explain to her that my house was owner financed, then she began to explain to me that technically that the owner actually still owns the house. Even though I have deeds in my name, the owner still actually owns the house, and he is the individual that would have to file for the...
Okay, well, that's just plain out wrong. You don't even have to finish the sentence. It's not even close to being accurate. Unless you bought in some sort of way where you bought an installment plan, That would not be true. When you have owner financing, the owner is like the bank. Okay? So you go to the bank, and the bank doesn't own your house. You own your house, but the bank takes the house as collateral, meaning that if you stop paying, the bank can take the house.
Well, see, I think that's where the point of the problem comes in at. He did not use a bank. I pay my mortgage to a realtor company.
Yeah, but you're paying, the realtor company's just collecting it for the owner.
Correct.
Yeah, but the owner is the bank.
Okay.
The owner's the bank for you.
Okay.
So whoever you called in the foreclosure, the problem, though, the real problem for you, Bobby, is that you don't qualify for any of the foreclosure assistance programs.
Okay.
So have you called your owner and said, I'm out of work and I'm in trouble?
Yes, we've discussed that.
And what did the owner say to you?
Well, he was the one that advised me to seek out some of the programs like the place where I went for homeowners.
But those loans all have to be Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA. All those programs are set up for government-owned or government-sponsored, you know, enterprises, the GSEs. It's all set up through the government. It's not for private individuals.
Oh, I see.
So you're sorry out of luck with that.
Okay.
So what you have to do is see if the owner is willing to just stop your payments for 6 months or a year while you try to find a new job. Otherwise, Bobby, I'm afraid you're going to have to face the really tough call of finding a new house and moving out.
Right.
Because if the owner's not willing to help you, what are you going to do?
Right.
He's going to take the house back because that's collateral for the loan. And
correct.
So you have to have a really tough conversation with with your lender, who's the owner, and say, look, I'm in a really tough place. I'm trying to find a job. I'm 4 months behind, but I may not be able to find a job. So how do you want to handle this? And it may be, well, let's put a moratorium on payments for 6 months. We'll add those to the back of the loan. We can do something else. But frankly, if he says no, he could start foreclosure proceedings tomorrow. So you have to have a plan B. And if you don't have a plan B and come up with them pretty darn quick, I'm afraid you're just going to get evicted out of your house. And that would be very, very sad. It's 51 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glenk. Stay tuned. I'll be back with more on News Talk WSB. 56 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glenk sitting in today. Glad you could join us. Don't forget to check out my show on Sundays, 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. Rerunning at, 3 to 5 a.m. on Mondays as well. Let's go back to the phones. William joins us on the line from Conyers. Hi, William.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind today?
Well, I recently got accepted into dental school. And
congratulations.
I live in Georgia. Well, thank you. And I'm going to be having to move out to California. Now, I'm trying to actually see what kind of companies, because some I've seen offer me pretty good rates and some are offering me higher rates. I'm trying to make sure I'm not getting set up with a scamming company, and I've been trying to do my research on if they're, you know, they're part of the AMFA and all these other different things. It's just kind of confusing when it's because there's so much info on moving companies out there right now. So
yep, there is.
I'm just worried that one of the quotes I've gotten from one of the companies is a good quote, but I've read some complaints online that they hold your stuff and they charge you more fees and different things like that. So,
well, if you're hearing that about any company, that just scares me. Like any online stuff. If they're holding it and asking for more fees, that's terrifying. There's a great website called movingscam.com, and they have something called the Blacklist. Have you seen it?
Yes, I've been there.
Okay. So are they listed on there?
Movingscam.com? I don't believe that they were listed. It's just weird because I find some good things about them and then I find some bad. So
you have
really
to not, it's not about balance here.
Right.
Anytime you see somebody, some moving company that's holding something hostage, it's a bad sign. So you don't want to be one of those callers who calls me back and go, Elise, I'm stuck. They have my stuff. They're holding it hostage. I've called the police. They don't want to do anything. I don't want that to be you.
Right.
So what I want you to do is call a bunch of different companies that are all top rated, that none of them have this I've held it hostage thing, and start to evaluate whether you can hire one of those companies and afford that, or if you want to hire a U-Haul and go cross-country and do it yourself. Over the weekend, my husband Sam got a, he got a U-Haul and a couple of guys, and they did a major move between cities out of one office and into another. It's not cross-country like you're going, but his stuff was safe, and it was less expensive, and he figured out a way to get done what needed to be done, and that's what you have to do. Call me back and let me know what you decide to do. William, 59 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink. Be back with more on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Klink, sitting in for Clark this hour. Glad you could join us here on News Talk WSB. The phone number's 404-872-0750. We've been having quite the active conversation on Twitter. So my Twitter handle is at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And if you're not following me, you're missing, like, I don't know, half the conversation going on. Somebody just tweeted me that they think that one of our earlier callers has an iPhone where the calls are exploding. Anyway, if you want to join that, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, where we tweet during the show. That's where I put out all the phone numbers, the websites, all the other things. And then there's all kinds of other places to play in the ThinkLink community. You might start by going to my website, thinkglink.com, and signing up for the free weekly newsletter. And that'll take you everywhere you want to go. So I don't know if you've been following the Barclays debacle, but there have been a whole bunch of people who have resigned at the very top of that bank. It's based in Britain, that bank, although it's very active in the U.S. They agreed in late June to pay about $450 million to settle accusations from U.S. and British authorities that its traders and senior executives have manipulated the London Interbank Offered Rate. That's known as LIBOR. So the thing about LIBOR that's really important is that a whole bunch of you have that as your loan benchmark. That loan benchmark, it's the rate that banks in London, the big banks, use to lend each other money. Right, and they get together and they sort of set the rate. And there's been some concern that they've been fixing that rate. Well, when that rate gets fixed at a place that's higher than what people or companies are actually paying, that index or benchmark is used to set mortgage interest rates. And I can't even count how many dozens and dozens and maybe even hundreds of phone calls we've had at the show from you who have these LIBOR rates attached to your mortgages. They were very, very popular. And the big problem with the LIBOR rates is that they oftentimes weren't turned around and sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And so now I'm hearing from borrowers who cannot qualify for some of the Making Home Affordable programs because they've got LIBOR-based rates. So you're stuck, right? Because if you're way underwater, which most homes in Atlanta are, you know, if you bought in the last 10 years, probably underwater, at least some, or you could be very, very seriously underwater, and you can't refinance because you don't qualify for HARP, and you can't get a loan modification because you don't qualify for Making Home Affordable loan mods, what do you do? And unfortunately, there's no really good answers. The answer really might be, well, have a plan B and get ready to move out, because you're gonna, if you can't make your payments, you're going to get foreclosed on. But following this scandal, which comes, this is sort of our first really big banking scandal in a couple of years, right? We went through the 2007-8-9 situation, and then we got into 10. It kind of quieted down. Not that anything got better in real estate or, you know, jobless numbers or anything like that. But now things are starting to get better, and we have this kind of a thing that pops right up again. And you know it's bad because a whole bunch of people are resigning and they're launching all kinds of investigations in the SEC. I don't know if it's the SEC. Some bunch of government agencies are getting involved. And it makes me so sad because we talked about this over the weekend. It makes me sad because there really needs to be a functioning financial market in this country. We need banks we can believe in. We need interest rates we can trust. We need to know that when we need a loan for a car, for a house, for our business, whatever it is, we need to know that when we're borrowing, we're getting real rates. And you can make the argument that a real rate is whatever the bank sets it at, but if it's supposed to be one thing and it turns out to be another, what happens to everybody who paid more because of that? And so when you have a situation like this, and it's a $450 million fine that I honestly, for the life of me, I don't even know what that's supposed to cover, how does that drip down to you? Is somebody going to file some sort of class action lawsuit on behalf of everybody who got a LIBOR loan that might have been misset because of what happened with Barclays and some of the other banks? How does that actually work? And so I'm sad because I look at this and I think it's another kink in the rope. It's another chink out of the armor. It's another piece of trust that erodes right when we're so desperately trying to build it up. One of the Fed Reserve Bank governors, Williams, said today that San Francisco Fed President John Williams said that, you know, we're right at the edge, that if the economic data keeps coming in below our expectations, we'll probably need to do a QE3, probably need to do a whole nother round of quantitative easing. That is not the kind of trust that we need in this country to build jobs and build a financial future. There needs to be some sort of meeting of the minds where banks play by the rules, some rules, the rules of decency, if nothing else. You've got to have a flat playing field so that people who are coming to borrow money can trust that the system isn't going to screw them. And it shouldn't be that hard. Shouldn't be that hard to get back to a place where it's a level playing field. 13 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Ellis joins us on the line. Hey, Ellis, welcome to the Clark Howard Show.
Hi, Elise. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's going on today?
Well, recently, about a month and a half ago, my father passed away.
I'm so sorry.
I appreciate that.
This summer is the 30th anniversary of my dad's passing. In fact, next week, and I think about him every single day, and it doesn't hurt as much down the line. You know, years from now, it won't hurt as much, but I'm sure it's a big loss.
Yes, it was a huge loss for us, and I try to hold up and not, be a man about it.
You know what? I don't know what that means. How about just being a human being about it? You know,
I know.
If you feel like crying about it, I think that's man enough for me.
Thanks. I do, but try not to show it to everybody else about it.
Okay. But, well, what if that works for you? But you know, he's your dad, man.
I know.
It's okay.
It's hard. I'm just trying to be strong for my mom and everybody else as well.
Well, that is important. So, what can I do to help you today?
Well, my mom and my dad lived up in New York, and they had live in New York. Obviously, my dad. Now, my mom, they had a mortgage it was under my dad's name.
Okay.
And they did not have a will, and I wanted to see if we could do anything to help her out, since my mom will be staying in the home.
So, because that your dad died without a will, which is called intestate.
Okay.
You have to go to court, and you're going to have to hire an attorney and go through probate so that the real estate and whatever other assets your dad had on his own can be basically processed.
Okay.
And distribute it. And because he didn't have a will, he's going, and I assume he owned the house. Did he own the house with joint tenants as rights of survivorship?
No, none of that. It was just
he owned it on his own?
Yes, on his own. And there's still, it's like a rental property. They lived on the first floor, and then everybody else, the other units were rented.
Okay, that's fine. But the thing is that because your father owned it on his own and he didn't have a will, it doesn't automatically pass to your mom. And in fact, and I'm not an expert on New York estate rules, which govern what happens in this situation, but generally What happens is whatever the laws are in the state about how property gets divided. So it's possible that in the state of New York that half of the property would go to your mom and half would go to you and your siblings if you have any.
Okay.
And it doesn't only go to your mom. And so you guys are going to need to hire an estate attorney to figure out how this is going to happen, because it's going to have to go through probate. It's going to be expensive. This is one of the big reasons why you have to have a will, because now the court decides who's going to get your dad's stuff. And that's
okay.
Never what you want to have happen. So
okay.
You need to find a New York attorney who can walk you through and walk your mom through this. It's going to be long. It's going to cost some money. But I promise if you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, you'll eventually get through it.
Okay.
I wish I had better news that somehow it would magically be okay, but it's kind of the worst of all situations when you die without, you know, intestate, without a will, and nobody's name is on anything.
Yeah, I know. And that's what we were afraid of.
If you want to be strong for your mom, Ellis, this is what you have to do. You're going to have to go there and help her out, and try and help her find the right attorney, and try and work your way through. And she may be so struck by grief right now that she can't even see straight.
Yeah.
And so the best thing you can do is be the pair of glasses that helps her see clearly, because there'll be decisions to be made, and you and your siblings are going to have to be a part of that.
Okay.
Now, hopefully, it's just the property passes to you and your mom, and not to, like, any brothers or sisters that your dad might have had or his parents. Because sometimes state law does include other kinds of family members. So you need to, the first thing you need to do is find an attorney. Typically, you can go to, like, the New York State Bar Association or the biggest city near where she lives. So she's in New York City. You'd go to the New York City Bar Association. And you'd ask for the head of the estate committee.
Okay.
And that person should be able to refer you and your mom to somebody who can help.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you very much, Elise. I really appreciate it.
You know, my condolences to your mom and your whole family. And if you need more help, you can either find me on Twitter or just call back on Sunday.
Will do. Thank you very much. Have a great week and a great day.
Thank you, Ellis. You do the same. It's 18 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. You know, Ellis's call reminds me that it's just a wake-up call. You know, sometimes you know if somebody's sick and somebody's going to die, and you have some sort of advanced knowledge. That's what happened with my friend Jean, who was sick for eight years with cancer. And, you know, we knew one day it was going to end, right? So there's time to put your affairs in order. But when it comes to, like, the way my dad died, you know, by the side of a road, perfectly healthy, 49 years old, out of the blue, there is no warning. And you don't have a chance to prepare. So if you're not already ready, that's when things get really mucked up. And so if you're sitting out there and you don't have a will and you don't have a living will and you haven't told people what you want to have happen to you and your stuff, you've got to, as hard as it is to face death's door and make decisions, you can't get stuck. You just have to move forward and do it. Because if you don't, and the unthinkable happens, you're leaving behind an Ellis who has to clean it up and help his mom feel better through this horrible, terrible time and try to figure out what to do next. And it's so much easier for you to do it and you to make the tough decisions and make it easier for them later on. 20 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. Stay tuned. I'll be back with more on News Talk WSB. 25 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glenk, 404-872-0750. Brian joins us on the line. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. What's going on in your world today?
I got an FHA loan, and I want to refi because interest rates and everything is a lot better. And my question is it better to stick with somebody local or out of state, or just get the best deal I can get? which one would be the best thing to do?
Well, let's talk about what you've actually done so far, because, you know, FHA loans qualified for a streamline refinance where lenders are just supposed to be, for a very small amount of money, your own lender lowering your interest rate. Have you done that yet?
No, I'm actually trying to get away from our bank.
Why do you want to get away from your bank?
I can't stand them.
Why? What have they done to you personally?
Well, it's not personally. Well, I don't know.
You sound so personal. Like you, there's some person there who's just aiming darts at you.
Yeah, well, I just don't like being treated like that. I was 1 week. My payment's due on the 1st. I called him up on the 5th, told him it was going to be next week before I make the payments. It wasn't even going to be late. And yet they called me up wanting to know when I was going to make the payment every day. And it just really made me mad.
Well, why were you not paying by the 1st?
My wife was out of work for a while, and now she's back at work again. And we got everything back in order again.
All right. So just so you know, most lenders give you a 15-day grace period. You didn't even need to call them. But once you call a bank and you say that, and you put up your hand and say, I'm having trouble making my payment, it's not going to come in until the next week, then they assume that you're having trouble making that payment. So you set them off. They wouldn't have called you every day unless you had, you know, alerted them to that.
Yeah. That's probably my fault there.
Well, I'm not trying to apportion faults, but what I'm saying is, I get why it would be really frustrating to have them call every day, but they want to get their money. You borrowed money from them. So now, you know, I don't know that this is your bank's fault. I mean, if you made your payment and you're on time, I assume the phone calls have stopped, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't been late on any of my payments. You know, I just let them know, you know, I was just going to be a week, and and I had that grace time. I'm just letting them know.
You are trying to be a nice guy, and it bit you on the butt.
Yeah.
Okay,
right, exactly.
I got it. So here's what I'm thinking, Brian. What you probably want to do at this point is to shop around. You know, my feeling is shopping around is absolutely the very best thing that you can do if you want to get a good deal on your loan. Because if you don't shop around and talk to a whole bunch of different lenders about your FHA loan, starting with your very own lender, you're not going to know if you're getting a good deal. So go make the phone calls, take some steps, take a deep breath, call your lender. I'm betting they're going to have a very good offer for you. 29 minutes past the hour on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark. I'm not here today, but you're still getting money-saving info from money expert and author Elise Glink on News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining me today on News Talk WSB, the number 404-872-0750. We're talking about money and real estate and sort of the intersection between personal responsibility and what you have to do to figure out where you want to go and how to get there. That's really it's all that we're talking about today. It's not all that difficult. We want to make sure that you really understand what it is you have to do and what direction you want to go in. Sometimes that's all it takes. 404-872-0750 is our number. Let's go back to the phones. Monica joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Monica.
Hi, how are you? Happy birthday. I'm also July birthday.
Thank you. And when's your birthday?
July 21st.
Oh, happy birthday to you as well.
Thank you so much. Your story in the beginning really resonated with me about your family member,
Rachel,
who decided to make some hard decisions based on her quality of life. And my question is the same. I have a home that I've owned for about 5 years now, and it was always my intention to upgrade, but salaries did not go up. I'm an educator, and salaries did not go up. And normally I would just stay there, but my quality of life is being affected, and I decided to rent to a better area for myself and my family, just because I really was not pleased with
what's going on in your neighborhood. Monica, what's going on? Because I can hear in your voice, you sound like you've been through the ringer. What's going on in your neighborhood?
Well, I've gotten in arguments with neighborhood kids who are disrespectful. I've been the victim of crime more than once. You know, I'm not one to just, you know, accept things. I'm a person that I get in my community and I tell people what I feel in a respectful manner. And it's just starting to be stressful. And I guess most importantly, I have a son who I'm very, very, very keen on making sure he has the best surroundings that I can offer him. And it's a financial sacrifice for me to rent a property somewhere else in a better community.
If you're asking me if I think you're making the right decision, hands
yes.
down, kids
okay.
and family first. My life is run by what's right for Alex and Michael and Sam, the three most important people in my lives, and I would move heaven and earth if I had to make something right for them.
Thank
and we
you,
faced a situation with Alex earlier this year, and, you know, he needed to change schools, and it's a financial hardship, and it'll make it, you know, but we're going to make it happen for him.
Right.
And
right.
So I understand your choice. It's a terrible choice because you love your home.
Right.
But you live in a neighborhood.
Right.
Live in a neighborhood. Have you made this move yet, or you're thinking about making it?
Yes, I actually have.
Good.
What happened is my mother decided to make a move, and so I'm going to move and rent her old home, which is in a really great community, from her. And it's going to cost me more. I mean, just because it's family, it doesn't mean that I'm getting a break.
Well, no, because she's got rent. She's got a mortgage to pay, too, I'm sure.
Exactly. And so I'm willing to give up anything I have to give up, whether it be cable. I don't live very lavishly, but whatever it is, and I'm hoping that I can get my loan modified on my current home so that, and I've already started that process.
Good, because
so
you want to do that while you're still living there or while it's still considered officially
right.
your primary residence.
Right, and I did. I started it before
good.
I made the move, so.
Good. It sounds like you have taken really positive steps and that you are going in a 180-degree direction, a better direction for you and your son. And
right.
I can't, you know, it may cost you more money, but this is what money is for. Like, sometimes
right.
I think people think, that, oh, I'm just going to save this money and accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. But when we talk about rainy days or when we talk about making important choices, when you
right.
choose to spend money so that your son can go to a better school, that you can
right.
live safely and not be afraid and not be the victim of crimes, that's
right.
what it's for.
Right.
It's
right.
the best choice.
Right. And I guess I was afraid because, you know, home ownership is very important to me. And, you know, I'm renting with a property manager right now. I've never rented any property before, so
you got something to learn. Listen, Monica, it's not going to be easy. And if you're in a neighborhood that's declining like that and
right.
that has a lot of foreclosures and a lot of people who just don't care and they've thrown up their hands and they've given up on life, it's
right.
not going to be easy to rent there. But it's a heck of a lot easier renting there than
right.
living there.
Right, right.
So you're going to have to still be involved to some extent. You
right.
could just give up the house entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, buy the house from your mom. And that
right.
may be what you want to do. If it's way
right.
underwater, it's never going to come back, there's no money in it, you may think
right.
about doing that and starting
okay.
over.
Okay.
But there are other options, and you've already made the most important first decision, and that is to move and make your son and you safe. And quality
thank
of you. Life is more important than money to me any day of the week. So you done good, I think. And you go, girl. 42 minutes past the hour. Let's continue on with our call. Sandra joins us on the line. Hey, Sandra. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. My husband and I built our house back in 2001 at a cost of about $155,000. We've refinanced one time since then. Our most recent mortgage is 4.25% for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're in year number 9, and we thought, hey, let's take advantage of these great interest rates. Let's get a 3% for 10 years. And we had a hard problem getting people to even return our call. We couldn't get anybody to return our call, although our credit scores are both over 800. We finally got somebody to return our call, offered us a 3%. The appraisal came back, and it was done by somebody who's in South Atlanta, and we're 45 miles north of Atlanta.
Oh, somebody who really knows what the neighborhood looks like.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely not familiar at all. And the appraisal came back at $120,000, which it's impossible. But I read through the appraisal and saw where the problem is. Our house is technically a split level, but it doesn't look like a split level. It looks like a split level in the front in that there's a door in the middle of the floors in the front. But in the back, it looks like a ranch with a basement because it's all underground. So when he compared houses, he went out and found starter split levels, which were all above ground, and counted all their square footage. But for ours, he would not include the lower level because some of it was below grade. So that's what threw the appraisal off. And my question is, you know, they since come back and said, well, you don't have enough equity in the house. We're going to have to charge lenders, mortgage, insurance, but we're willing to pay for it because we think the appraisal will come back and we've contested it. We think it'll come back. Okay, we're willing to pay for it, but the lowest we can get you is 3%. And I'm still seeing all these 2.75s and all this stuff for 10 years. Do I just let this go? Do I try to get another loan? Do I just say forget it? Let's just keep
all right,
what we
well,
have?
Wait, let's take a breath for a second.
Okay.
So you've got a problem of a contested rate. There's no rush. There's no rush. What you should have done was meet the appraiser at the house.
Okay.
And walk him through and make sure that he understood what the true comparables were to the property.
Okay.
It's unclear to me if the appraiser even came into your property.
My husband did meet him and just let him into the house. We did not give him a list of comparables. He said in his appraisal that he had to go outside our area to even find split levels. But within a mile and a half of our house, I have a list of 20 ranches with basements that have sold for $140,000 to $240,000.
So he clearly had no idea. But you don't need to rush.
Okay.
Right? You can, you've contested the appraisal. I'm sure you furnished the bank with the true comps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can pay $400 for another appraisal.
Okay.
When you apply again. But so let me just address the first thing, which is that you have to take responsibility for how these appraisals go. If the guy, when he walks through the door, if you were buying this house, the realtor would have met the appraiser and said, hey, by the way, here are some comps that we priced our house based on. And so handing over those appraisals, they'll have to go and find others as well, but he may not have even been smart enough to realize what he was looking at.
Okay.
And you can't assume when somebody comes, you know, 45 to 90 miles away that they're going to have any idea. And you can complain to the bank about that. They're not supposed to send those appraisers anymore.
They said that they don't have a choice, that it's all done through some lottery or random source.
There's another level that's been put in there, but they're not supposed to do that.
Okay.
And they can say, hey, you sent an appraiser from 90 miles away who had no idea what this neighborhood was about. So they can go and complain to the middle management company that now runs that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. But what you've got to do is meet the appraiser and make sure that the appraiser understands what the appraiser is looking at. So that's on you. Now, the good news is that mortgage interest rates are going to stay low probably through next year, maybe even beyond.
Okay.
The Fed is now talking about doing another round of quantitative easing or bond buying to keep pushing long-term interest rates even lower. So you're not going to lose out.
Okay.
What you want to do is get your ducks in a row so that you really get the interest rate that you want to get. But I have to tell you, the difference between 2.75% and 3% is not enough to be crazy about.
Okay.
Not over 10 years.
Okay.
So maybe you're going to save another $1,000. And I'm not saying that $1,000 isn't worthwhile or $2,000, but what I'm saying is that there are other reasons you might not get that super low rate other than, like, they only were going to give it to one person this week.
Okay.
So I want you to shop around. I want you to talk to the lenders about your house and the appraisal issue and what happened with this appraisal with another bank. Ask them how they make sure that you get an appraiser who really knows the area. And then make sure you're there with and hand over comps. And I think if you manage this situation, you're going to end up exactly where you want to be.
Okay. So now, let's say it's a 3% loan. What are the kind of fees and closing costs that we should be looking at? Because we're getting quoted around $2,000, and I thought that was a little bit high.
I think you can get quoted even less. I mean, I've been hearing from people on my Sunday show who are paying $375.
Wow. Okay.
So it depends where interest rates are at that particular moment.
Okay.
When they're quoting you, your credit scores are clearly fine, and if you have 20% down in equity, right, at least 20%. And if you do it 40%, it would be even better. If you don't have 40% in equity, like a lot of people don't, you know, you're going to pay maybe a little bit higher fees. You're going to have a little higher interest rate. So And even over 20%, more equity is better. That's why managing the appraisal process is so important. But go out there and shop around. You should talk to five or six different lenders. And remember, here's my four-point rule for a home run when it comes to mortgages, right, for refinancing. One is you lower the interest rate. Two is you lower your monthly payment. Three is you shorten your loan term. And four is you pay very little, hopefully pay off any cost of refinance in 6 months to a year. That's a home run as far as I'm concerned. And if you can make sure that that happens, you should have no qualms. It's a good deal. Go for it. And think about what you're doing. You're taking a loan that has maybe 11 years left. You're shaving off 1 to 2 years, lowering the amount of interest that you're paying. That's a home run just as it is. So make sure you kind of walk through all of the different pieces of the puzzle. Compare lenders. Look at a big lender. Look at an online lender. Look at a mortgage broker. Look at a regional bank. I love regional banks these days. They're the ones who seem to be really, really hungry for the business. So you're going to want to get all of those things together, and then you'll be able to actually know your refinance is solid. 404-872-0750 is our number. If you're not following me on Twitter, you're missing half the conversation, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. All right, we're going to be back in a couple of minutes to take another call or two. It is 49 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. You're listening to AM 750 and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
249 in the Cool Ray Heating and Air WSB 24-hour traffic center. 85 southbound is really slow from Beaver Ruin down to trouble that has cleared before Pleasant Dale Road, but slow all the way down. And then a massive jam on 575 in both directions between Holly Springs and Highway 92. That is because right in the middle there in that construction zone, they have stopped traffic briefly to do some blasting. 7585 southbound getting a little bit heavy around North Avenue and William Street. Kim McCarthy, Newstalk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Gling. Thanks for listening to me on News Talk WSB. Don't forget, every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I'm here to deliver more information about real estate and money and the way that that world works. So if I can answer questions for you, I'd love to have you join us. And don't forget to join me on Twitter. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And we were just getting some online reaction to Ellis's story about his dad dying intestate in New York and his mom trying to cope and what he's going to do, being strong for her, what he's going to do to try and make that work out. Ty joins us on the line from Oxford. Hey, Ty.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, I just have a couple of minutes, but I wanted to see if I could help you today. What's going on?
I'm renting a house, and the homeowner, I went to foreclosure. I went to the courthouse, and the bank took it back to see how we wanted to see who was going to buy the house, see what was happening. And the bank took the house back, and now I don't know what to do.
This must be like incredibly scary for you.
Yes, ma'am. I've got two small kids and my wife, and I don't quite, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me, man, you got it going on now. You don't pay rent to anybody, you know, and you just live there in the house for however long, and I don't.
Did you approach the lender when you were at the auction?
The lender, I don't know if that was the first time I've ever been to an auction, so all that was kind of new to me too. Because there were
right.
Eight
it's
or nine.
It's confusing, isn't it? It's confusing, people yelling and screaming and a lot of emotions flying. It's very fast.
Yeah, it was very fast. And I just happened to catch, you know, who the lender, I guess the representative for the lender was. And I asked her if she had the address, you know, the home. And she said, yes, it's going up next. And, you know.
So did you find out who the lender is?
Yes, I found out through the newspaper.
Okay, so what you want to do is call the lender, and do you have a written lease for the property?
Wait, no, our lease was up in April, and, you know, the homeowner wasn't real, the homeowner and the property manager were not
real forthright as far as what was going on. I ended up having to find out myself due to...
All right, let me jump in, Chai, and say that now that you know who the lender is, you should call the lender and say that you have, you're living in the property, it was leased to you, you'd like to begin making your rental payments to the lender. Of course, you have no idea if that would even cover the mortgage, but that's at least a start. And then you're going to have to figure out plan B. You're not going to get to stay in this house forever. So either you're going to have to buy the house from the lender if they'll let you, or they're going to sell it and somebody else is going to take over and you're going to have to pay payments to them. So, and you may not even be able to. So what you want to find out is what your runway is. What's the timeline that you have to be able to plan for your family and figure out where you're going? And making those rental payments to the lender will help. And so they'll probably put a notice on the door anyway with a phone number, but I would be proactive. Call them. Take some positive steps and try to figure out how much time you have in this house with your family so that you can figure out where you're going to go after, what your plan B is. It's 58 minutes past the hour on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Kling. Thanks for joining me today. Don't forget to tune in on Sunday. I'll do a couple of closing comments on Twitter. At Glink. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Visit my stories on Money Watch. And mostly, hang out here on News Talk WSB. Have a great day. Every part,